I'm Doug Peckinpah, Group Editorial Director of Snack Food and Wholesale Bakery, and this is Ingrained Insights, a forum to explore the delicious and innovative world of snack and bakery products. Today's guest is Kylie Fields, owner of 4Good Foods. Welcome to the show, Kylie.
Thanks, Doug.
4Good Foods is a Chicago-area chef-run food company focused on creating clean-label products using real food ingredients. Owner Kylie Fields founded the company with the mission to create great-tasting food for the purpose of doing good. The company's first product, 4Good Granola, was launched just this year. 4Good Foods gives to organizations and supports programs that encourage, empower, and elevate kids and adults with disabilities and the families and the caregivers who champion them. And Kylie Fields attended culinary school 10 years ago with plans of using her culinary degree, along with her 15 years of marketing and advertising experience, to go into restaurant consulting. But after spending time in the kitchen, she realized that was where she wanted to stay. Kylie has been teaching and doing private chef work in the Chicago area ever since. So Kylie, what originally led you to become a chef?
Yeah, so, you know, you alluded to it a little bit there, Doug. I was in marketing and advertising for several years, you know. I think there's definitely a correlation between the advertising world and the chef world. You know, both of them, you get this random bug in you that just kind of makes you keep on wanting to do and explore and get you excited. Went to culinary school, thought it'd be a great way to, as you said, kind of intertwine both of those worlds, and started spending more and more time in the kitchen. You know, that started with doing some stage work at restaurants when I was in culinary school, and then just started doing some private chef gigs, really loved that opportunity to create what I wanted and explore and learn and educate myself. You know, it was super exciting to do that as a quote unquote second career, because I think it allowed me to enter it a little bit more grown up, and then also gave me the opportunity to take the time to really learn and educate myself and explore. And there's always, always, always something new to learn in any world you're in, but especially in the culinary world.
Yeah, absolutely. And now you've become more entrepreneurial and you're running a new business called 4Good Foods. Tell me a little bit about that company.
We just started this year. It was one of those endeavors where we were all hit with a very interesting 2020, and it forced me to kind of take a step back from the kitchen and make a pivot. And in my effort of reeling my professional life in and focusing a little bit more on my family and all that good stuff that everyone else in this world did in 2020, I started kind of reflecting on, what do I want to do? What are some things that can professionally engage me right now? You know, the pandemic was not ending anytime soon. And I've always, you know, part of what I love about being a chef is tinkering, right? Understanding ingredients, understanding what they do, understanding what time and temperature do, what cooking methods do to something. And I had done a lot of that with the teaching I did and writing recipes, but granola is one of those weird kind of elements of, you can do a lot with it, you can do a little with it. It opens the door to lots of different unique ingredients. And I kind of landed in that direction. I've been making granola for years. I've been making an oat-free granola for years, but I went back to the kitchen and spent a lot more time doing it and trying to really perfect it, make it something unique for everyone.
So, you know, that's really interesting. Your mention of an oat-free granola and kind of the chef-driven culinary process that you go through. Can you talk a little bit more about that when you're thinking about developing a new product or a new flavor, or, you know, even just the idea of an oat-free granola? Can you talk a little bit about the dynamics there and, you know, what that means, not only from an ingredient perspective, but, you know, from your view on flavor innovations and, you know, how your culinary background factors into that process?
Yeah. As a general rule, when I'm in the kitchen, you know, either recipe testing, building a menu, I tend to gravitate to spices, ingredients that provide a real well-balanced depth. And honestly, a flavor from the beginning to the end, right? No one wants to taste something and just have one flavor component. Mm-hmm. So I carry that over quite a bit to the work I do in granola too. You know, I want you to take in a smell and aroma when you open that bag. I want you to be able to eat it on its own, right? It doesn't necessarily have to have a yogurt to encapsulate it, or a salad for a finished topping. I want it to stand alone really well on its own. So I try to use flavors, ingredients that add some really nice texture and depth to it. You know, the oats, you know, I joke and I say groats, not oats, one that marketing advertising ingrained in me. But the idea of using buckwheat groats instead of oats does a couple things. One, I think there are a lot of great oat-based granolas on the market. I also think oats don't add tons of texture integrity. They tend to pick up a lot of the flavor that already exists in other flavor elements of the granola. So I wanted to add an ingredient instead of oats that added a foundation, a little bit more depth to it. And that's what buckwheat groats really do. So buckwheat groats are the whole seed of a buckwheat plant. So they're actually a seed, not a grain. What's really nice about them is when you slow toast them, they take on a really nice nutty base that sticks with you throughout the entire experience, I should say, in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously they add a lot of great nutrients as well as awesome texture. And the texture was the other element that's really important. So, you know, there's a lot of connections between texture and how satiated you feel after you eat something. I'd say that's super important to the folks who love granola. I think it's super important to anything that we eat, right? We want to feel fulfilled and satisfied after we've eaten something. So that's where texture is really important to us. No one wants to eat a bowl of oatmeal with nothing in it, right? Why do we add brown sugar? Why do we add almonds? Why do we add? And then the other element with texture is also size, shape. How does it feel in your mouth? So is there, you know, there's a reason why I use slivered blanched almonds versus sliced skin on almonds, right? They give you a different textural experience in your mouth. Why we use whole cherries to get that nice kind of plumpness versus chopped cherries. So there's a lot of thought that goes into that in terms of texture, and it comes naturally after a while and takes a lot of testing. You know, some, you know, we talk about the five taste elements. We can certainly hit that in just a granola, right? So you get a little bit of bitter from the chia seeds when they're toasted. You get a little bit of nuttiness from the almonds, the buckwheat groats, the flaxseed meal. That sweet comes into honey. You could even go as far as umami if you want. When you kind of slow toast all of those and they caramelize together, it gives you that flavor that you're like, I'm just going to stick my hand in that bag and get a little bit more.
So, you know, I you talk about that flavor impression when you open up the bag and you get that waft of aroma. You know, it's that, that's that first consumer interaction with the organoleptics of the product. And, you know, when I opened up the sample that I had recently of the smoky pineapple, it was like it was like wow, it's summer. It seems like I'm at the grill, and it just had a kind of a sense of place. And, you know, when you're thinking about your flavor profiles, are you pulling inspiration from other food categories? Are you empirically looking at different flavors that you think would pair well? What are your inspirations?
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a little bit of that pulling from certain types of cuisine. I tend to, when I cook and teach, have a lot of influence in Asian and Latin cuisines for the same reason I talked about flavor profiles. I think they offer some really stellar ingredients and spices that allow for a very easy, well-rounded flavor. So there's a lot of pull from that for sure. The smoky pineapple you talk about. So you couldn't have described that better. You know, I'll steal this from a retailer I was talking to when I brought a sample to her and I said, you know, taste this. Let me know what you think, how you're feeling about it. You know, smoky pineapple for a granola is a little bit out there, right? So
yeah,
the best reaction I get is, the best reaction I get is people reading that on the package and mouthing it, not saying it out loud, a little intrigued. And I want to say, just try it. So what she said to me, this retailer, was exactly what you said. You open the bag. I'm like, how's the smoke level? What are you thinking? She's like, I think it's perfect. We're not looking for a brisket, which is exactly where I am in my head, right? I'm not looking to overwhelm, to offend, to off-put with a smoke. I'm looking to compliment. So I want you to have it in your nose when you open the bag. I want you to kind of subtly take it in on your palate. You get a lot of that from Spanish smoked paprika. So there's your Latin influence in there from the cinnamon. And then as it kind of lingers a little bit more, you taste that hickory smoke in there. So hickory smoke concentrate is the last one that kind of brings the smoke through.
Yeah, I love it. It just has such a great, strong culinary impression. And, you know, when you're starting your day, you know, granola obviously can be eaten at any time. I've been known to snack on granola throughout the course of the day. But, you know, it's more a morning day part thing for the most part. And, you know, to have that kind of flavor excitement in the day, you know, it's such a kind of a refreshing flavor opportunity there. Can you talk a little bit about just some of the other flavors that you've developed?
Yeah, so I think you have tried, there's one more flavor that I just finished a couple weeks ago in the kitchen I'm excited about. Probably will launch that closer to we get to fall. I think I'm still holding on to summer as long as I can. That one is cranberry spice. So we have our original blend, the smoky pineapple, both those are on the retail shelf now. And cranberry spice, like I said, will launch in fall. So again, you know, here's the super kind of Asian influence in what I do. So that spice level that you're going to pick up on there, ground cardamom, as well as five spice powder. So you have a little bit of anise, a little bit of black pepper in there, a little bit of clove. So again, that's the influence. But I was looking for something that has that subtleness to it, right? We can't overpower, we can't overdo. All those add really nice flavor back notes that then again, don't overwhelm the core ingredients of the buckwheat groats, the almonds, the coconut. Super excited about the cranberry spice, a new ingredient that I've added to it that I've not yet worked with until now are cranberry seeds. So we're going to swap the chia seeds for cranberry seeds that are really awesome color, but nice texture too.
I love that. You know, a mission-based business these days resonates with an increasing range of demographics. We've seen this in some younger consumers, and I think it's spreading where some of these younger consumers are influencing older generations who are saying, yeah, you know, that just makes sense. When you see the values that a company, a brand, is bringing to the marketplace and saying, look, we're going to take some of this, you know, positivity that you're going to bring to us by buying our product and turn around and share that with somebody else. Can you talk a little bit about the mission of For Good Foods?
Sure. So For Good is what kind of encapsulates our mission. And you had mentioned in the beginning of the introduction very well, because it is a mouthful. So we give to organizations support programs that support, empower, engage kids and adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And especially important in that population are the caregivers that support them. So I, you know, that mission is super close to my heart. I have two daughters, Langley and Bolin, who were born with a rare genetic disorder. And, you know, they live with significant special needs and they will the rest of their lives. We've been super fortunate to be involved with organizations and programs that have either supported us as families or have allowed them to really grow and thrive into the young ladies that they are today. And we get it, right? We know that you need those types of organizations out there, whether it's for families like mine, for kids like my kids, for the adults they will eventually be, or, you know, other types of really good, strong cause-based companies.
Yeah. I mean, it's great to see the investment that companies like yours, you know, bring to their communities and bring to, you know, the larger society as a whole to try and say, look, you know, we're going to take a little bit of our success and pass along and try and build that and foster it and see that continue. And, you know, I think it's just a great way to bring a little bit of added depth to what you're trying to do as a business. You know, you've had some initial interactions with retailers in getting your product on the shelf. And obviously, in a pandemic year, that's no small feat. Can you talk just a little bit about some of your initial efforts in talking to retailers? What kind of feedback have you been getting as you try and get some shelf space?
Yeah. You know, I think the biggest thing that I can reflect on is I have a lot to learn. I've learned a lot already, and I've been super fortunate to have, you know, several retailers willing to just chat and talk to me about the ins and outs of them. I would say probably for me, my biggest kind of exciting, moment was a grocery store in Hinsdale called Kramer Foods. And I walked in there, you know, I had been in the car several hours that day, kind of hitting a couple different retail locations. And I thought, I'm just going to go in. It's a great grocery store. You know, It's got a really good feel. It fits exactly what I'm looking for. So I walk in and I meet Tony. And Tony is the most personable kind of, you know, he's the kind of guy that he's going to tell you what you're doing wrong, but with the biggest heart possible, right? So Tony's pushing me for questions, asking me about my products, why he should put it on the shelf, why he should make room for it. And I'm answering him. And, you know, at the same time, probably sweating a little bit, just, you know, he's really putting me to the test on this one. And after the 15-minute conversation, he said to me, you get a nutritional facts label and a UPC on that product, and I'll save a space on the shelf for you. Oh, and that was awesome, right? And so It taught me one, a lot of things. Got to be persistent. Got to know your product. Don't go on thinking it's going to be an easy sell, because it's not. You know, I can sell anything when I'm behind the stove and I'm teaching you how to do something, but put me in that sales spot and it's a lot of pressure. So, you know, I've been super happy, super fortunate to just meet lots of people like Tony, whether it's in the retail space or, you know, ingredient suppliers who've been really willing to talk to me and kind of teach me the ropes and educate me on the process and give me a chance as the little guy. And so that's exciting and kind of keeps me wanting to get better and learn more and get out there even more than I am right now.
Well, we celebrate your initial successes with you and hope for many more in the future.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Doug.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Kylie.
I appreciate you taking the time to do it.
For more grain-based insights, including a continual examination of innovative new products hitting the market, visit snackandbakery.com. Thanks for dropping in today. This is Ingrained Insights.